13 Questions by Man Transcending. Manhood in the Digital Age. Welcome back to 13 Questions, the podcast where we ask men questions, trying to bring wisdom back into this world. Thank you all for joining us. This week I am joined by Bill Robinson. Bill is somebody that I personally know. He is my fiance's father. He is an incredibly wonderful, compassionate, and loving person, and I am really looking forward to bringing this interview to you. He's a really interesting guy. Bill Robinson was born in Ohio in 1941. He was raised mainly in Lake Worth, Florida. He joined the military, met his wife in Germany where her father was enlisted, and became a loving father of three children. He then became a mechanic for the Mohawk plane while in Vietnam. Afterwards, he joined the executive flight where he was the crew chief for Army 1 presidential helicopters and often flew with President Johnson, Nixon, and Ford. This also included Nixon's final flight out of office. Bill can be seen in this iconic photo next to the president. Once they decided to switch from Army 1 to Marine 1 and Air Force 1, the executive flight crew was given a choice of station in Alaska or Hawaii. He chose Alaska, where he and his family spent 3 years. Then he was stationed in Virginia in the 80s and decided to retire from the military and moved back to South Florida with his wife and three kids. He worked a couple of odd jobs until he got hired at Sikorsky, where he continued doing what he loved, working on helicopters. He is now retired and lives in North Palm Beach, Florida. Yeah, this was a really fun interview. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. If you do, please consider becoming a member of the podcast. You'll get to hear bonus questions by Bill after we finish with the first 13 questions. We sit around, we go through another six or seven, and then, of course, we discuss the process and what it was like for him to answer these questions. I really hope that you guys enjoy the wisdom that Bill brings. And, well, if you guys want to participate, if you want to dip your toes in, become a member, go to the website, get access to our weekly prompted journaling courses, the ability to help improve yourself, bring some more wisdom into your life, or bring wisdom into other people's lives. Produce your own podcast. If you know somebody like Bill, if you know somebody in your life that you know their story can impact and help somebody else, or they have knowledge that has benefited you, then do an interview, speak to them, go out and record it. The audio is good. You can send it to me and I will produce it, put it together, and we will drop you into the feed and share with the rest of the world. As an example, this episode here was recorded completely on a Roland RO7. The only other things I had was a set of earbuds, a little tripod that sat on a desk, and I took a microfiber cloth to put the tripod on to act as a sound dampener. That's it. Afterwards, I ran it through some software called Alphonic and edited it together, took out some couple of pauses, a couple of lip smacks, but nothing major, and this is it. It's really not that difficult. So if you can get some quality recording, a quiet environment, we would love to hear what you can bring to us. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And I hope you enjoy this interview with Bill Robinson, my friend, my fiance's father, and a wonderful man. And thank you. So, you ready to...
Anytime you are.
Awesome. All right, so this is 13 Questions. Today we have Bill Robinson. And Bill, I know I've known you for a while. So, it's very nice to be able to sit down and do this. You're one of the most interesting people I know. And so, yeah, I'm really interested to see how you answer all these questions. You ready?
Yep, ready.
Awesome. What was the best advice ever given to you, and would you modify it at all today?
Have respect for somebody, everybody that you meet, until they do something to lose your respect. Simple as that.
Is that something that was like ingrained with you as a child?
Yes. My mom and dad. They always respected it. It seemed like they respected everybody. never had any arguments, nothing. That's the way it was when I was growing up. And I did that through my entire life so far until somebody makes it unbelievable, insulting, or make me lose their respect. I respect everybody.
You think that's something that was like valuable for your career path? Because you kind of went down a pretty disciplined career path with job choosing.
With the military, yeah. That also helped a little bit. The military didn't change much, but I respected everybody, even the low-ranking people, until they did something to lose my respect. That was it. Even my commanders, I respected them until they did something to lose my respect. And that's what I do, respect people.
That's awesome. What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents?
Not to argue in front of children.
Really?
I'm hoping that me and my wife never argued in front of our kids until we got older, when they were teenagers or something like that.
Yeah, they were arguing anyways, right?
The kids did. But hopefully me and my wife didn't do that. Because my dad and mom, we never heard them argue. And never heard them cuss at each other or say anything bad about each other in front of us. So until my dad got old and he was bedridden, my mom would start getting mad at him because he couldn't get out of bed. And she had to go, every time he rang the bell, she had to go to him.
Did he abuse it? Was he one of those?
No, he didn't. Okay. My mom's sister was the first one to get up when she was staying with my mom for a while. But other than that, it got old for my mother to have to get up every time he rang the bell because he couldn't walk. He had emphysema too bad, so.
What book has been most influential on your life and why?
I have dyslexia and I do not remember a book that I've read.
Well, what about listen to? Because I know you do audiobooks. Or maybe is there an author who's impacted you?
Yeah, what's that guy? Da Vinci Code?
Dan Brown.
Dan Brown, yeah. Okay, I like his books. But he very descriptive when he writes. Everything is real about where he goes. And I mean, you hear about all these kind of places that he's been. You want to go see them, but don't have enough money to do that. But very interesting places he used to write about.
That's interesting. No, because it's funny because you say that, and I'm thinking about the flip side. I'm thinking about how interesting it is that like the worlds he delves into, you know, the churches and the history.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you've had that in your own life with Camp David and these other places, and so it's kind of interesting just to see like you're still steeped in that like, I don't know, looking at the history.
Well, I've seen a lot of things. There's no question about that. Well, all the traveling I did when I worked for the White House, every place they went, I went. South America, Peru, Argentina when I worked for Sikorsky, all over Europe, Egypt.
Oh, wow.
We spent about 3 weeks in Egypt, and we left one of our helicopters for the Sadat over there, too. So we saw a lot, the pyramids and what was that, that city on Alexandria where the castle was for the king of Egypt back in the day.
Wow, so you were with all the dignitaries or whoever? I should say, or were you kind of
on? We were just reconning the area that Nixon would go into.
Very cool, very cool. So you were kind of doing like security ahead of time and
landed on top of aircraft carrier in Alexandria. So spent a couple hours to see what it was like to land on the deck of a aircraft carrier and that Navy stuff.
That's fun. Is there a particular part of the world doing all that that you like enjoyed the most? Like a place that you like, if you could go back, you just want to go there and settle in?
No, not really. The only place I like is the United States. And why people go out of the United States to visit countries that are beautiful. All you have to do is fly around this country a lot.
That is true. We have one of the most diverse landscapes.
You said that right.
Yeah.
Especially Wyoming. You fly over rivers in Wyoming and they're just as clear as glass.
Yeah. People forget that. We are the most diverse in resources and in landscape compared to most of the rest of the world.
Drop dead beautiful. Even Alaska. During the winter was kind of bad. It was all snow. But other than that, it was really beautiful.
What daily habits or rituals do you have? And do you recommend them to others?
I don't really have any habits that I know of. Oh, try to get along, not get upset with other people until they tick you off, and be nice.
That's a good habit to have, though. Yeah, because you see so many people act in a way that it's clearly aggressive and going to just get extra unwanted behavior.
Well, they don't care about anybody but themselves, normally. But there are people that are really nice that will help you out. And if I could, I'd like to help a lot of people out. Physically help if they need help.
Yeah, well, you're one of the nicest people I know. And I mean that as in, like, you don't get upset. Even when, you know, like you go to a restaurant and people will, you get the worst service on the planet, you know, or create, you know, just things that would grate and aggravate the average person. You know, you seem to handle really well and just, you know, you get flustered, but you don't let it ruin your day. You've got like a good perspective where it's like, all right, it's just a beer they didn't bring me.
All it does is irritate you. And I don't want to get irritated. I don't like to get irritated at all.
Yeah, it's like poison, but you eat it. If I were to ask your best friend, what is the one thing they would say you need to work on the most and why?
Keep myself in condition.
Doing the right exercise.
That
kind of
PT,
stuff.
PT, yeah. Oh, that... because it benefits you. PT, which I should do a whole lot more of, and I don't do that much of. So, back in the day.
Yeah. You think there's a reason?
Every once in a while, I'd get into a habit where I'd do physical stuff, but then I got out of that. So,
you think that's just with getting older and kind of just settling into the retired lifestyle?
Even when I was growing up, it was the same way. I wasn't really active that much. I did what everybody else does, but I didn't get that active, like exercising, running.
Right. We've done it. I'll tell you what, you do a lot with your mind because you're always listening to audiobooks. You know, you're always doing, you know, crosswords or things like that, which is fantastic because some people just let their mind rot or they let it get filled with, you know, the news or their feeds and they follow that as, you know, they don't keep their mind active in you know, thinking and, doing calculations, which is phenomenal because it keeps you sharp.
Well, that's what I don't want to get is stupid.
Yeah.
Or with dementia or mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. I don't want any part of that.
Well, you kind of hinted on it before. It's like exercise. You know, if you don't lift weights, you know, your arms aren't going to be as strong. If you don't do that thinking all the time, I mean, your brain is doing the same thing. It has to keep sharp. If you let that go, you know, you'll just turn into mush.
Exactly the way I feel about it.
What are you most curious about?
Oh, why people are such jerks. There are a lot of them that I mean, they really work at being jerks. I don't know why. People are just like that. They want to be assholes. Excuse my language, but I just don't understand why they have to be like that. They want attention. I have no idea what they do it for. So
it's funny when I see people like that. I don't get angry nearly as much as I used to because I'm like, well, clearly that person's not happy. Like, you're really, like, you're pushing this out. And I'm like, well, I'd hate to be you. Because I'm not going to, you know, if I own what you're giving, then I'm just going to feel the same way that you are. And exactly. You're offloading that on me. And I don't want that. So instead, it's like, it makes me feel sad for the person. I'm like, oh, man.
Always have a smile. Well, try to always have a smile on your face. And don't get upset too often, because all it does is ruin your stomach, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, the world can be falling down around you, but in the moment, you have a roof over your head. You know, if you have food in front of you and a glass of water, like, you can just focus on that moment, that for that space of time, there's everything okay. It's okay for you. But if you let the, you know, the guy that packed your groceries wrong, or the person that cut you off or something like that, start seeping into your mind, then
get irritated with them.
Yeah.
Well, you get irritated, but you don't go crazy about it.
Well, exactly. You can't just ignore things completely, because then those things will persist and you'll get that person that never gets checked.
Every once in a while, you lose your cool, but maintain control yourself, then you have no problem. It's just like this football game this past Thursday, where this one player took off the quarterback's helmet and hit him with it.
Oh, my gosh.
And, well, he's going to be paying the penalty.
Well, I was going to say, that could even be, like, civil. They've done that in hockey before.
Well, yeah. Well, he gave the guy a concussion in hockey. It was in the paper today. But this guy actually took off the quarterback's helmet and turned around and hit him with it. And he's out for the rest of the season, and it's going to affect the rest of his career. So that's why your anger doesn't do you any good. Anybody any good. So you have, like I said, keep you cool.
Yeah, and it's terrifying that people can do that, because, I mean, they're already football players, and it's like two trucks running into each other every time they're out there, but a helmet hitting somebody in the head, you could change a person forever.
Exactly.
Over just one little snap decision.
Yeah, what? Because of anger, a bit of anger, and that's exactly what it is. That's why you have to be able to control it. And a lot of times you can't control it, but you have to.
You know, that's an important one. We're living in a society where people want to quell anger, but it's more what you're saying. It's directing it. Because if somebody breaks into your house and they're going to hurt your kids, you need that anger. You need that ferocity. You need the violence. You need the ability to act on it. And you need the ability to control yourself while doing it. Because if you never have that, then those threats can, you know, that's a problem. But if you allow that to come into the grocery store, normal life, or driving, then it's a terrifying thing to live with.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the road rage is, such a bad thing. You get ticked off drivers, and it's understandable. People do jerky things, but you don't go crazy or try to shoot somebody or try and run them off the road or something like that. It's just not right.
You don't
do that.
Well, times certainly have changed, huh?
And that's a fact. They sure have.
What was one of the more embarrassing, humiliating, or humbling experiences of your life?
Being put in handcuffs in Alaska by the MPs. I had too much drink. I ran into a snowbank on my way home, which was only less than a mile. And I ran into a snowbank, and the MPs put handcuffs on me and took me to the brig until my commander come and got me out of the brig.
So were you driving a personal vehicle?
My car, yes. And that was the most embarrassing. Then I had to go before the base commander and give him a reason why it happened. And then I could have gotten a lot of trouble. And because of my rank, somebody with my same rank squash the complaint. So I lucked out.
Well, that's good. I
still
mean,
on
ultimately, you
that.
Only hurt a snowbank and maybe your car.
That's it.
So it's, what's the damage? Sleep it off. Learn your lesson.
That's it.
You know, it's funny, too, because we live in this world where you get a DUI. You know, bad things can happen. Your life can be over. It can affect jobs and careers. But you know, there's examples like that where, hey, you can learn a lesson. Like we can take the time to, like, I love that part of old, you know, police work where you would have, you know, hey, the kid, you know, you get out of your car. I know a guy that this happened to, or his friend. He gets out of his car. He's doing some sort of traffic stop. The kid steals the police car, drives it up to a bridge, parks it in between, turns the lights and the siren on, locks the car, the keys in the car, and then walks away. So now the cop's going to have to come up and like break into his own car or get towed away there. Now nobody, and like, yeah, that's totally mischievous, but he didn't go to jail, get a huge record for stealing a police car. You know, all these other, like, you could have ruined a person's life. You could justify shooting or beating the person senseless, which happens, you know, so too many times today. But, you know, I just, it's nice to hear that, you know, because clearly it was an embarrassing experience. I'm assuming that it changed your behavior in some direction when you were driving.
A whole lot.
What is your greatest fear, and how did you overcome it, if at all?
Drowning, surviving.
So you were scared of drowning before then surviving?
Not really scared of it, but does bother me anymore. But drowning is like falling off a log once you get over the panic. That's why dying doesn't bother me at all. So, because it's like falling off a log.
So you were involved in a helicopter crash,
right,
over water. Did you actually like start to drown, like you went underwater? Did you like go unconscious?
I went unconscious for a short period of time, and I floated to the air pocket in the helicopter, and I survived.
Wow.
It wasn't my time to go yet. All my kids were young then.
So water doesn't bother you, or things, and
no,
flying,
water,
like
no,
you can?
Water doesn't bother me. I had to, when I started working for Sikorsky, I had to go through not dive tanks, they called submer tanks, where they put you in a seat and drop you in a water, and you have to be able to get out of the seat and float to the surface, not go the wrong way.
Was that, so that was clearly a near-death experience for you?
It was.
Was that your first near-death experience?
Yes.
Did your life change afterwards? And I don't mean just in like how you viewed the world. Did things seem different in the world? Like you hear people where they'll have a life-changing experience, and not only do they see the world different, but they'll have synchronicities or things happen. And
yes, it changed my life, the fact where I don't care whether I die anymore. When my time has come, it's come. There's not a thing I can do about it. And that's what that told me, that I shouldn't be alive today. The agent that died in that helicopter crash, he's not alive. And I was one of the ones that should be dead, but I'm not, because it wasn't my time to go yet. When it's come, it's come. There's not a thing I can do about it. Nobody
that's
can
awesome. Die. You already got the lease. You already know what it's like to go through the whole experience
and then
to come back.
Your life does flash before your eyes, trust me, because it did.
Wow. Was it classic, like your whole life kind of just...
Most of it.
Wow.
I don't remember that much about it. So I do remember a lot that was going through my mind when I was passed out, though.
Was it hard to get back to work after that?
No. And I had no problem with flying, but... When I did fly after that, I was always looking for a place from a helicopter to land if something happened. And that was no big thing.
Water can be a blessing and a curse.
Well, even when you're flying in the woods and the trees, you're still looking for a spot to put a helicopter down.
Oh, that would be terrible to have to land in a forest.
All
right,
depends on how good the pilots are.
That's always the key. Well, yeah, especially because it depends on what's wrong with it. You can float them down, even with the problem.
That's a fact.
What quality do you most admire in a man, and why?
Now, a man that respects his kids and loves them and shows his love for them, and that's about all that I and not being a jerk is another thing. So, but that's about the only thing that I admire in a guy.
Why do you find that admirable? Is it because of your love of children, or how you see that, like that affects the future and the world we live in?
One of the biggest things, yes. If the father is a jerk, the kids are going to be jerks. If a father's a druggie, the kids are going to be druggies. So it's one of those things that happens. So
yeah, more often than not, the apple doesn't far from the tree as it sometimes should.
That's a fact.
Who were and are your role models, and why?
Well,
could also be the most positive influence on your life.
Well, my mom and dad for the most. And the other guy was Ron Bean, the one that pulled me out of the helicopter when it crashed. The co-pilot was going toward shore after the helicopter crash, but the pilot, Ron Bean, he came back to let the agents out and find me. And that's the one he's gone now. He had lupus and was in a wheelchair for many years because of it.
That tells the character of two people. Because clearly, in your profession, with the jobs that you guys were doing and who you were flying, it, you know, it wasn't the weaklings. But when the situation happens, you have two men who are fully qualified, and one seeing the shoreline in his life, and the other one is thinking about
other people.
Yeah, that's powerful, because those situations are so chaotic and crazy, and you're going in with panicked people that anything can happen. There's no, you know, if you're going to grab people, there's no chance that one of those guys that swim back to shore isn't also panicking inside and has never been in a drowning situation.
That's a fact.
That's awesome. So I know you kept, or I'm assuming you kind of kept contact with them after that.
Oh, you know, every reunion he was at that he could come to, he was in a wheelchair for the last three reunions, him and his wife. And I had total respect for the guy. He had to leave the Army early because of the disease that he had. And he was still a great guy.
Well, it's awesome that you got to know him.
Yeah.
What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Politics. It's just, they have some of the nastiest, crooked people in the world just don't understand how some of them can be. Even though Nixon was left office, he still was a nicer guy than Lyndon Johnson or Ford. So, but politicians are politicians. They're all in it for the money, and they stay there too long. That's the problem. When they stay in so long, they think they're kings and queens, and nobody has any reason to do anything against them. And that's not right.
Did your perspective kind of get shifted being that close to the White House and kind of seeing behind that veil where you saw the politicians, like, you know, still with their show, but, you know, not on guard all the time?
You didn't get to know them personally, but you met a lot of different people. But I couldn't say that. Personally, I couldn't.
Because, like, most people don't get to see that, like, you know, the people behind the scenes and really, you know, just the dynamics of what's going on to go, oh, man, these people are all full of shit. Like, we all know they're full of shit, but, like.
And crooked is what really gets me. They go in, don't have any money at all, but when they come out, they got all kind of money. Look at Obama. He's buying that multi-million dollar home on Cape Cod. Tell me that he, and he's from Chicago. So figure it out. They're not crooked. That's how they make their money.
You know, it almost seems like today the politics is set up where if you want to play, for you to be even in the game, you got to be dirty. You got to be crooked. There has to be dirt on you.
And lie a lot.
Too. So everybody's in it together. We're all thieves. We're all going to go down. I'm not going to tell on you. You're not going to tell on me. Like, that's what I see.
Exactly what is going on, too. But unless you're on a different party and you're after the other party, it's always going on now. It's out of control right now. So, and the media. Oh, man.
It's funny. History seems cyclical, where to me this has all the hallmarks of like McCarthyism. Exactly. You know, a lot of people know that there's horse shit involved, but still there's a large segment of the populace that's influential enough, and there's political reasons and people behind the scenes that are creating the media storm, which is just influencing this group. It's weird. I grew up thinking this stuff would never happen. And you're growing up having seen the repercussions of it and going, man, it's back again?
Oh, man. And only this time it's a lot worse than it was with Nixon. But that's also where you find out whether you have friends or not when you're a politician, because they'll turn you in, turn and stab you in the back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are like, too, today. So they talk to you as friendly as they can be while they're looking at you, but as soon as you turn, they're going to stick you with something.
What is the most courageous thing you have ever done in your life or seen?
Well, the most courageous thing I have did was going in after the life raft and trying to help the Secret Service agents out of the helicopter crash.
So after you came to, then you immediately went back into...
To get the life raft. All the agents were out because Ron Bean had got all the agents out except for the one that drowned. But every other one, that was my mission when I passed out, is to go kick a window out so the agents could get out of the helicopter.
Were you worried that the helicopter was sinking and going down? Was it like that? Because I'm not familiar with that.
We were in an air pocket. So
So it had some.
So the nose of the front of the helicopter was sitting on the bottom, and the tail was sitting out of the water.
Gotcha.
So it was, the tail was out of the water. That's how everybody survived, really, except for the one agent.
Yeah. It's an amazing experience, and just, I mean, so many things for your life now have been impacted and changed by that moment, you know, out of complete tragedy, if it's going to happen, seeing what other people are capable of in that situation. To me, like, that's almost like a beautiful gift that even in the worst, you get to see this, like, I don't know.
The good and the bad.
Yeah, exactly. As bad as it gets, you can still do this and you can still impact these people. Because it impacted me, it's going to impact all them. Like, it's what is it? The 6 degrees of separation on steroids, you know, or pay it forward on steroids is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know what steroids are on.
What rule do you have for yourself that you never break? And why do you think that is important?
Well, I respect being polite for one thing. And respect others until they make you lose your respect for them. It's as simple as that.
Is there a road to redemption for people? You know, like, you know, kind of, you see that things can be tough, or a person has this, an arc over time that can, where you can kind of loop back to them.
You kind of know those people, and you don't lose respect for them if they do
gotcha.
Something stupid. But you understand, if you know them well enough, you understand what they were stupid about, and you still respect
You're making
them.
Sure they're not a baseline asshole, because if that's the person they are, then they're always going to be that.
That. Exactly. And there are a lot of people like that, too. That you're going to be a jerk, you're going to be a jerk forever. Doesn't make any difference what you do or what you say to them. They just don't care about anything but themselves. So that's about it.
Phenomenal. All right. Well, that was the end of the first 13 questions. Actually, it's the end of the 13 questions. We do have a bonus round. So you ready to get into it? You ready to do the bonus?
I don't know what I'm going to be able to say, but I'll try it.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Stay out of trouble.
You get in a lot of trouble as a teen?
Not a whole lot, because my dad made sure I didn't get in a lot of trouble. But when I got in really big trouble ever, except when I was in the military, in Alaska when I was handcuffed. But
well, that's a pretty good track record. Most people, you know, that have been in trouble, it's a lot of handcuffs before they enter the military.
I had an Article 15 when I was at Fort Rucker, Alabama, when my wife had a miscarriage, mm-hmm. and I ran a traffic light when it was cold, and an MP stopped me, and I got an Article 15, which is a disciplinary action in the military. So I didn't like that at all, but couldn't do anything about it.
I guess if that's the worst thing that's on your record, running a light, you know.
That's about it, too. That and being put in handcuffs.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Children. Little kids are the most precious thing in the world, and loving them. That's the biggest thing in the world for me. When you're an adult and have kids and love them as much as you can.
That's a big one. You don't see people doing that today. It seems crazy. You go out in the store and there's a kid with the phone and they're eating garbage food and the parents are yelling at them, and it's like...
Don't pay attention to them at all most of the time. It's a shame.
What is your single greatest driving force in life, and what do you do to try to further it?
You know, I couldn't tell you anything about that driving force I have.
Well, you've accomplished a lot. So, I mean, you're one of the few people that I can understand why your driving force, you know, it's not that it's disappeared, but you accomplished so many things and you went on and had, you know, wonderful career, and now you've retired. You know, you support your family, you know, when your son needs to come into town, you bring him in, like, you do all these things. So you seem like a very fulfilled person with the path that you've taken and where you've landed and how you're able to, manage the world around you. So I can see that as being, you know, your fulfillment.
Well, I don't know if it's...
Or you're driving, you know what I mean? Like your driving force. Like that is, you've done this. You've created this big momentum, this big wave. And because you've created it, you know, it's continued to go. You don't have to be, you know, out there breaking your butt, working on helicopters, cutting your knuckles, you know. Yeah, getting sunburnt, looking up, hurting your neck. Like, none of that has to be, you know, but it brought to you the point where, you know, you can just keep, well, you're relaxed living.
Exactly what it is, too, relaxed living. And that's exactly what I'm doing, too, relaxing.
What do you most often choose to ignore?
Assholes. I try and stay away from the ones that are assholes, and I stay away from them, and because you can't stop them from being what they are. So I don't even talk to them. Don't want to talk to them.
Well, now you can just turn down your hearing aids, right? Just ignore them. Go, my batteries are dead.
I could do that, but I just stay away from them. There's so many people that don't care what you say and talk over you, that I can't stand. I mean, you're making a statement and they're talking at the same time. To me, that's the rudest thing you can do to a person that you're trying to carry on a conversation with. So,
what do you hope people will say at your funeral?
You know, I don't give a shit. I'm going to be dead. So I couldn't care less what they say about me.
That's awesome.
Just like I don't care what people's... I could be sitting down the other end of the bar or sitting somewhere else and somebody's thought, I don't care what they're saying. They don't know me. So if they don't know me, how can they make any examples of me? So that's the way I feel.
That's great. So you put weight into the people that you care about and feel for, because if they feel a certain way about you, well, maybe I should listen.
There you go.
But not to that asshole. What can you do today to improve?
you know, I'm satisfied, totally satisfied with the way everything's going, has gone. I planned for what was going on, but I planned this when my wife was alive. I didn't plan it for me because I didn't think I'd be around this long. But everything gone just fine.
Fruits of your labor. You've tilled the field properly so that...
That's it.
That's awesome. Was that daunting? Like looking at... Because, you know, to set yourself up to where you've been today through all the things, you know, the military and the pension that comes along with that and, you know, working at Sikorsky and, you know, building these things that are going to make sure that, you know, you can actually retire. You know, something that a lot of people nowadays, they don't see those long-term careers. Was that a hard thing to kind of plan knowing that it's going to be 30, 40 years before this?
If you don't have a little bit of help, I'd say yes. But the guy that got me started thinking about my future was the guy that owes me $4,000 right now, pilot in the exec flight. He got me into this savings plan where you every month you put money into it, and it stayed there the whole time I was in the military. And when I got out, there was sufficient amount to get a down payment on a house. So, and he started me on this path of making sure that what I do, that it'll benefit me at the end. And it did. It still is. And I like that.
That's awesome. So you're not as bitter about having to owe him money because of the...
He owes me money.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's a millionaire. That's what gets me. He is a millionaire. He lives right on the Pacific Ocean. But he told me he'd give me 4%, 10% interest on my money. But that's been now almost 10 years now.
Oh, so it's stacked.
He needed money to start a new business, and he never paid me back. So,
well, at least you can laugh about it and not let it grate you and upset you.
Exactly. Well, I don't laugh about it, but he was a good pilot, and we used to have a lot of arguments about the aircraft, but... He knew more than everybody did, so. But he still owes me $4,000.
To what faults do you feel most indulgent?
Not taking care of myself physically, though like I should. I got the bike now, and it helps, but it doesn't help. The body's old now, so
yeah.
It doesn't help.
Well, and it takes a while to kind of build yourself back up, too. Nobody can start running a marathon.
That's a fact.
It's just not going to happen. You got to train up for it and take a long time.
Aches and pains all the time, so that's what happens when you get old.
Well, last part of this process, that was the end of our questions, but I'm interested in knowing how the process was for you, how it was... Sitting down and thinking about the questions, writing out your answers. Did it impact you in any way? Just how it was to go through this?
There's a lot of thinking. Thinking back. Because the past is the past. You really don't think about it that much. But I had to do a lot of thinking about what all the questions you asked. Now, what comes to mind? And
yeah, you got to roll back the reel. It's a lot of rolling
back.
That's
why I had to write things down. And it helps when you write things down because a lot of times you don't remember them. So, well, that's the way it is.
Well, Bill, thank you so much.
You're
it's
welcome.
Been wonderful. I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy this. I did. I say this a lot, but this is one of my... I say it on a lot of these. It's one of my favorites. But this, especially now, I mean, it's very personal. I already know you, but... I've learned things about you, and other people will too. So that's great. That's wonderful.
Good enough.
All right, Bill.
Always beneficial.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I don't want no whole way, no, yo, what? I don't want no whole way, no, yo, what? I don't
Why is one man rich and another man poor? Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rest so high? Why I tell you the truth, but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no hawaii.
Why?
I don't want no hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no hawaii.
Why?
I don't want no hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no hawaii.
Why?
I don't want no hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no hawaii.
Why?
I don't want no hawaii. Yo,
why? Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why. The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why. And why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why. And why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
This should be considered entertainment and not therapy. We hope you benefit from our resources available at 13questionspodcast.com. Thank you for listening.